Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
Part number 11. Sorry we kind of had to skip a week. But we're going to have tonight, and then we're going to close out. We'll put a capstone on it next week. So we're going to talk about eternal judgment again next week, Lord willing. All right, so we're Hebrews 6. You know, the Bible's so important to us. You know, we believe it's God's Word. And I like to say it like this, and this is kind of modified from something I heard Dallas Willard say, and I just liked it, and I just kind of adopted it for myself years ago. It says, the Bible gives us the most important information about the most important things, and all the most important questions about who we are, who God is, what He expects from us, life after death, all those sorts of big idea questions. The Bible gives us the most important information about those most important things, and we got to be sure that we learn that. Be sure we take in what God says. These are really important things, and this knowledge will save your life, not just for here and now, but for eternity, forever. And it's this knowledge that leads us to eternal life. So it's important we get in the Scriptures, and we're going to get into a piece of Scripture tonight about eternal judgment. Here's your notes right here, Tiff. We're in this sixth essential or sixth foundation, the sixth one. We talked about repentance. We talked about faith. We talked about baptisms. We talked about laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead. And again, we could talk hours and hours. You could write a book or two or three or volumes on each one of these things, really. That one right there? And tonight we're going to get into this idea of eternal judgment. Well, we talked a little bit about it last time we were here, so let's just keep building on that. So you good there?
Tiffany's still slow. We get it.
Tiffany's going to have to look over your shoulder. We're good. All right. So here we go. We're talking about eternal judgment. So judgment, from the scriptural standpoint, judgment is when God sets things right or He makes things right. Right. Jesus is going to come and He is going to make things right. And there's two sides to that, right? There's two sides to that making things right. It's rewarding the righteous, entering into the joys of the Lord. Jesus says, and also punishing the wicked. And that's the day of the Lord that will be terror, really, you know, just absolutely can't even imagine it. In the words, we're going to see Jesus put to some of this. If you just let your imagination roam, it'll haunt you. And it's meant to, you know, this whole idea. So rewarding the righteous, punishing the wicked. That's the idea of judgment. Now, we launched into this last week. It's appointed for men in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed for men to die once. Don't get the chance to come back. Just die once. But after that, the judgment. After that, we will stand before God and give an account. All right, let's build on that. Let's start our lesson tonight in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the preacher. This is a writing of Solomon. Beginning in verse number 6. Look at how he describes death right here and our purpose in life, really. A lot right here in verse 6 and 7 and 13 and 14 we'll read. It says, remember, he says the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes. So he's summing it all up. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. And that gives us what 1, 2, 3, 4 descriptors of what, rather than just saying before you die, he just gets poetic and he says, before the silver cord is loosed. They talk about that silver cord in some Eastern things, Eastern thought. That silver cord connects you with life, kind of deal. The golden bowl is broken, or pitcher shattered at the fountain. You know, I kind of like the way he could have just said when you die, but I like the way he puts it. Just kind of gives us a visual. Verse number 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. One place it says, dust you are, and what? Dust you shall return. We say that kind of stuff when we have our grave services and things like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? We add that to it. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. All right. Now verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole reason for life and living right here. Let's hear the conclusion of it. He says, this is the way you should live your life. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Makes sense, don't it? Here's why. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So this is the idea of judgment again. He says, you need to fear God and do what he says, because one day we're all going to give an account of that. And this is where if we had, we could go into the idea of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he offers us. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, because those are sins that he paid for, so I don't have to pay for them. That's good news to me. You know, if you've lived a perfect life, that doesn't mean nothing to you. But if you've been down some of the roads I've been down, you're like, thank you, Lord. You know what I'm talking about? So he says this right here, and God's going to bring everything, even every secret thing, the secret sins or even the secret deeds we do, the good things, the good deeds, whether they be good or evil. Notice that in God's mind, according to your works, how you live your life, the things that you do, all right, your daily stuff, your habits, your good works, your sins, your even your thoughts, you know, God's got two categories. See, we got all this gray in the middle. God's got black and white, pretty much. God says it's either good or it's evil. We can say, well, it's either good or it's bad. We try to put everything in the gray category because we just want to be that way. It's not like that to God. So he's telling us something about what's coming our way. All right, so now, let's get into this idea of the two final judgments that are pictured in Scripture and given to us. Again, this is real important stuff about our future and eternity. There's one called the Great White Throne Judgment. We'll see that in Revelation 20 in just a moment. The Great White Throne Judgment, and that's where unbelievers will be brought before the Lord. See, everybody's going to stand before Jesus. Everybody. Everybody's ever lived and breathed a breath is going to stand before Jesus. The Great White Throne Judgment is for unbelievers. And then Paul has this term that he uses called the Judgment Seat of Christ. Is for believers. The believers will also be judged. He's going to tell us some information about that judgment. And that's important. Remember, we talked about last week, we ended the lesson last time with the idea that the reason we're given this information is so that we can tailor our life for that moment. We can live our life ahead. We're getting information. I mean, God literally is giving us a heads up. Right? And that heads up, it's not for us to look down the road way down there. That's important to see that, but we're to look on our daily walk and to make sure, as we say, you heard me say it dozens and dozens of times, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know? All right, so those two final judgments. Let's look at the first one right here. Revelation 20, verse number 11. Now, this is getting towards the very end. There's 22 chapters in Revelation. We're getting towards the end of it. A lot of things happen in the first part of chapter 20. Satan's bound, those kind of things. And then he gets to verse number 11. It says, picture this. Now, when you read stuff like this, it's graphic words to give you an imagination, to wrap it around, wrap your mind around it. Then I saw a great white throne. You see it? And him who sat on it. Oh, that's Jesus. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. It's a different face of Jesus right here now. When he was here on earth, his face was very attractive. He drew people in. At this particular moment, everybody said, this moment right here, they're going to look for a place to hide. Right, it's a different face of Jesus. He's already warned us about it. He said, I'm the judge. All judgment, we read that I think last week. All judgment has been given to me. He warned us about that, right? Whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In other words, there's no hiding in this moment now. We can't hide. And I saw the dead, small and great. I think it's kind of probably saying about their status in life. If they were down here, they were kings. It don't matter who you are. Everybody's going to stand before him. Standing before God. I saw the small and great standing before God. And books were opened. That's interesting. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now, what are those books? See, there is a book, and then there are these books. You see that? So the book is called what? The book of life. You know, we sing that old song, "When the roll is caught up yonder," that kind of day, you know, that kind of deal. But what are these books? Well, one of them says Ron Laney on it, probably. I mean, I'm using my imagination thinking about it, but one of them says The Life and Times of Ron Laney. Lord, have mercy. It's got some good parts now. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But no, it's like this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to see out of this. That God's not missing nothing. He didn't miss anything. You know, whenever you see these creatures around God's throne, they've got all these eyes. I mean, some of them got eyes all around them. It's like some kind of wild looking thing. And what the point is that God doesn't miss anything. That's the point. That's the point of these books right here. Okay. I'm glad that a lot of my pages on my books going to be covered in red. It ain't going to be nothing in it. You know, that's good. I like that. But these books are my conjecture. You tell me if you got a different idea. These are books on us. The deeds of our life. All right. So these books are going to be open. And it says right here, by the things which were written in the books, they were judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. That's death in the grave kind of deal. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? Second death. Or we would maybe even call it eternal death. That's when we talked about the when a believer dies thing, the idea of all the different kinds of death. Physical death, spiritual death, and then we talked about eternal death. That would be the second death right here. All right? Now I don't have any notes for you. I left it kind of a blank thing where you could write in what you want there. But you see that. If I was you, I'd write things like, I'd go back and write books, book of life, just so you kind of sketch out the idea of what's in that verse. All right, unbelievers. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. It's another important detail about eternal judgment. All right? That's pretty tight, isn't it? That gets pretty serious. You know, fire in the scriptures is always speaks of judgment. It's either absolute, in this case, it's like damnable judgment. In other cases, you go through the fire and it's like a purification type judgment. The believers are going to run through that fire too, but right here, this is like a consuming fire. This is a fire that's not good, right? Questions? Or are you just sitting there? There's a lot to take in right here, but this is information the Bible gives us about the future. Anybody? If I was making notes right there, I'd put lake of fire. See, the lake of fire is not inhabited as we speak. All right.
Somewhere in here, too, also where he talks about the angels that were originally cast out of heaven.
Peter talks about that. Peter talks about that. And you know that one little detail right there, Glenn? He says this. Look at this. It says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I kind of take that to be those spiritual beings you're talking about, the ones that are on the wrong team, the kingdom of darkness. I believe it's referring to that. You know. Anybody? I mean, wouldn't it be good to warn people about this if you knew that train's coming? Wouldn't it be good? That's part of our message now. It's not just love, joy, and peace now. It's not that. Remember Paul, when he talked about it, he talked about righteousness and he talked about judgment to come. It's important. It's important. Now, you don't always have to start your story with that, but people need to know about that because a lot of people don't. A lot of preachers aren't preaching that kind of thing anymore. Really. And if we do preach it, we kind of preach it in the wrong spirit sometimes. So it's hard to hear. What you got, Tiff?
Uh-oh. Okay. I read this last night, chapter 20 of Revelation, on my prayer line.
Uh-huh.
And it blew my mind that you said study for it. So can I just a little bit, like on verse, where we at? And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And when I, Tiffany Wade, you know, I saw all my predecessors, my elder family members, they was all great. But yet, a lot of them was missing. They wasn't put in the book of life. They was in them other books with their greatness, right? And that's how I chose to live my life. Different from them, I follow God's book, His book of life. Because I watched, and it's life is a growing lesson. And you see these people, and they're not good influences, and then there's some good influences. And God give me that choice every day. It says, anybody choose ye this day, who you will serve, will it be man or be God? I choose to continuously roll with God, because He is the same yesterday, today, and today. And I got something to look forward to, because Him the same tomorrow.
And every day. Forever. That's good. That's good. Hey, that's good. Might need to let you preach something. Okay, that book of life seems to be pretty important, doesn't it? Another place is called the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you get your name in there? Following Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord, repenting of your sins, following Jesus. You get your name in that book through Jesus. He writes it in there. I mean, again, my conjecture, but I see that picture. He writes it in there with His blood. I see that. You know? All right. So it'd be real important to get your name in that book. If it's not in there, you need to make sure. You know? All right. All right. So let's go to another. Where we got here? What's the next passage? Mark number 9. Now, God's going to talk to us about this reality. Jesus is going to talk to us about it. Mark 9 what? 43 through 48. Okay, now Jesus speaks about this, the reality of what we just read about. Okay, this lake of fire. He speaks about it, and He said, if you only knew, you would take drastic measures. Now, He speaks in kind of hyperbole, which is an exaggerated term, but He's trying to get His point across. If you knew how bad judgment is, eternal judgment, eternal death, if you knew how bad it was, this is what you'd do. Verse 43 says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall not be quenched. Look how He describes this place. The fire that shall not be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Their worm, it's like their consciousness, you know. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall not be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Okay. Now, Jesus is not advocating self-mutilation, but He said, I'm telling you right now, you would do whatever it took to not go to this place He's talking about. If you had to be so drastic as to pluck your eye out so you wouldn't lust after something you shouldn't lust after no more, or you know, your foot's taking you places you don't need to go, you'd cut your feet off. So it must be rough. You know? Anybody comments about that? Questions about it? So He's talking about that reality that we just read in Revelation 20. He's talking about that reality right there. Okay. From a what to a who? Oh, yeah. Well, that's you cut off relationships, too, that's causing you to stumble and sin. That's true. All right, what's the next passage we got?
Romans 14, 10 through 12.
All right, let me go to my notes right here. All right, so now let's get into the judgment seat of Christ. So that's the great white throne judgment. Judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14, what'd you say, 10? 10 through 12. Is that what I got listed in my notes? Listen to what he says right here. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? You know, contempt, something harsh and bad, a malicious kind of idea. Anger out of control. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we get a new term, a new idea of judgment. We shall all stand. Now he's writing this to the Romans, to believers. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Okay, now this is describing what we believe is the believer's judgment. All right, Paul's going to give us some more information on it. What's that next scripture? 1 Corinthians 3? 1 Corinthians 3, where did I say start? 11 through 15. Now he's going to give us some more information about this. So it's 1 Corinthians 3, 11. All right, so now we're all going to stand before God and give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen to what he says. It's a whole bunch. We're just kind of picking out a little piece of it, but a whole bunch there in chapter 3. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Had that foundation. Now, God laid him in the world as the foundation for salvation, but that stone's got to be laid in your life, in my life too. Right? Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, that's our life as Christians. We lay that foundation, and God wants to take your life now and build it differently than you were building it before, right? And Jesus is that foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, if we could kind of separate, you got a cluster of three right here, and you got a cluster of three right here. All right, keep that gold, silver, precious stones. And then you got wood, hay, and straw. Okay? Each one's work will become clear. For the day of the Lord, or the day of judgment, in this case, the judgment seat of Christ, what he's talking about. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now look at this. Go back to that grouping right there I just told you about. The grouping of three. How does gold do in fire? It purifies. How does silver do in fire? It purifies it. How does precious stones do in fire and pressure? Well, they're created, right? They're purified. We'll stay with that idea of purification. So gold, silver, and precious stones. How does wood do in the fire? Burns up. How does hay? Well, that goes up real quick, don't it? Straw, that goes up real quick. Right, so you got these two groups. Some things are going to survive the fire and come on the other side in this judgment. Some things are going to get burnt, slam up. Now, what's he talking about? All right, all of those, that gold, silver, precious stone, that wood, hay, and stubble, that represents the way we've lived our lives, how we've done the will of God, how we've lived in those good works to care for people and to love one another and love other people and the relationships and how we've stewarded our lives, okay? The good things we've done, the bad things we've done, the things we've done right and with a good heart, the things we've done that were good things but we did it with the wrong motive. Guess what? Puff smoke. We all got that, don't we? Some things we did, good things we did, but we did it for the wrong reasons, like to be seen or heard or get promotions or whatever, self-oriented kind of thing. That's wood, hay, stubble stuff. Boom. Right? If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, in other words, if it endures that fire, that judgment, they'll receive a reward. All right? That's good news. Receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. What did he lose? Well, he's going to lose any kind of reward that would be attached to that. You know, because God reward. You got to know this about God, and you need to take that into your parenting too. See, parenting, we think about discipline. We think about correcting bad behavior. No, it's not that's half of it. You correct bad behavior and you reward good behavior. God does that. Why wouldn't we? Right? Now in the world, we're doing just the opposite. That's all. The script is flipped, and we're rewarding bad behavior and punishing folks for doing the right thing. You know, that's a different kind of evil right there. But anyway, so if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But so you can breathe a little bit, he gives us a little help right here. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Aren't you glad about that? Because see, when Jesus saved me, he sealed my fate for today and eternity. I'm good. But now I'm to live for him. I'm to do things for him. I'm to do his will. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go the wrong way. Sometimes I sin. Even as believers, we have these issues, don't we? Constantly. We struggle with these things. But he puts a marker in our minds to say, hey, you know what? It all matters now. It all matters. In fact, Jesus, we read it last week, I think. Jesus said even the idle words that come out of our mouth we'll give an account for. That gets important. Now, did I want to stop at verse 15 in my notes? All right, now look at this. I want you to see God's mercy over us right here. If anyone's work which he's built endures, he'll receive a reward. God's going to recognize the things that we've done for him. He's that kind of king. He's not just trying to take all the credit for himself. He's going to say, I really appreciate you doing that for me. And he's going to reward you accordingly. We'll see what the king's reward is. But look at this mercy right here. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so by through fire. Now, let me tell you what Jesus is going to do for us. Because see, in that day, it's going to be a good day and a not so good day all at the same time. You know, we're all going to have this mixed bag looking at us. And God in his mercy says, Ron, I'll just use me because I started to call somebody's name, but I don't want you to get all scared. I said, Lord, he's going to say, Ron, I appreciate all the stuff you did and all the people you helped. And we got a pretty good list we're working with here. But he said, you know, over here, and your character, you never quite got this right. Or you did this for people to hear the applause or whatever. You did this. Or remember that sin struggle you had? Here's the mercy in that. I don't have to live with that for eternity. That my Savior is going to burn that up. I personally believe he's going to burn it out of me. So I see hope in that. That all the things I've done that I shouldn't have done when I should have done it. I'm talking about after Jesus stuff. Now with all that before Jesus stuff, that's a given. You shouldn't have done all that. But I'm talking about the after you come to Christ stuff that you do. You know? All the problems and sins and struggles that we've had. Jesus is going to say, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to take all that out of your life completely now.
Is that going to be like when he gives you your glorified body?
It'll be something right in here. That's probably a good place to put that. I don't know for sure, but that's probably a good place to put it. Where he just makes all things new all again. The dead works, the repentance from dead works. What we just talked about a few weeks ago. Exactly. That's a great way to put it, to tie it in together. And this is a warning not to be involved in that, even as a believer, in dead works. The dead works of traditions or dead works of, well, you name it, whatever. Sin.
Can put you in that too. You can get so wrapped up in your
prayers. Oh, yeah. You can lean your ladder on the wrong building and climb it your whole life. You know, that's the old boy said he climbed the ladder of success and found out he was on the wrong building. That's not good, is it? So we're here, okay? But I do see God's mercy and all that all that wood, hay, and stubble. Remember that? We got gold, silver, precious stones. All of us got a little bit of that probably. I hope you do. And what did Jesus say? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is kind of some of this. Right? Where nobody can steal it. Moths and rust won't destroy it. That kind of thing. You can't do that. But all this wood, hay, and stubble. It's a warning against the dead works. Right? Right now, the best thing we can do when we hear something like this, we know we all got this wood, hay, stubble stuff. Wood, hay, straw is what the New King James says, but I think the Old King James says wood, hay, stubble. You got all this. What's the best thing you can do with that right now? What's the best thing you can do with that today? I mean, you still got breath in you, so we got time to start work on some stuff. Judge yourself, lest you be judged, is what one writer says. So that we can ask God to forgive us of that, bury that mess, go ahead and let it pass through the fire of repentance and that kind of judgment, and then say, and then learn the lesson you need to learn. You know why I don't touch hot stoves? I already did. You know why I've done some stupid stuff since I've known Jesus, since I've been a preacher. I've done some real stupid stuff. You know why I ain't going to do that again? I done been through that fire. That fire is super hot. And I tell you what, a buddy of mine said this to him. He had a real struggle with alcohol. And he said this about a Christian and drinking. He said, a heart full of Jesus and a belly full of alcohol kill a man. It will. He had to let that pass through that fire. Now, was he saved before? Oh yeah, he's going to die drunk and probably stand before God, be saved, but wouldn't have nothing to show for it. But he had to pass that through that fire. And now he's one of the best guys you'll ever meet. I mean, he's just an amazing Christian. You know? But we got to do that today. If you got some of that wood, hay, stubble needs to be burned up, drop to your knees and ask God to help you with that. To get that burned out of your life, out of your psyche, out of your mind. Get that burned out. And then we begin to build on that new foundation. We learn from those mistakes. We go forward. All right? You see what I'm talking about? Anybody? Anybody else? All right. I think we're just about towards the end, aren't we? Let's see. It was 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. He writes back to the Corinthians, and he brings a little bit of clarification here. 2 Corinthians 5, what was it? 5, 10, and 11. Listen to what he says. Now again, 1 Corinthians, he's dealing with all kinds of stuff, and he writes them a second letter to kind of bring some clarity. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he said that already, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That sounded a little bit like Revelation 20, didn't it? Sounded a little bit like 1 Corinthians 3. Sounded a little bit like Jesus. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. So here's another side of Jesus. Now you got to know that. He is the Lamb, and He is the Lion, and He is the Judge. You got to know. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men or people. We persuade people. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Paul said, I'm good, and I hope you understand. I'm trying to be good. All right? Understanding the terror of the understanding that this moment is coming for every person. Persuade people. Do what you can. Jude says it like this. Some of them, you snatch out the fire. I mean, you just like, it's like an emergency conversation. Like, you better get yourself straight. Says some people we save by snatching them out of the fire, and some people we save through compassion. So some folks need the soft answer. Some folks need snatched. You know what I'm talking about? I've had moments where I had the soft answer help me. Then I had other moments where God just, oh, yeah, let's get you out of that, boy. You coming with me. And that's the way we do with people. And it really just depends on their attitude. That's where discernment comes in. All right. We are just about to wrap it up here. I got my readers. All right, you got the five crowns right there. Got them. You go ahead and write some of that in. There are five crowns, rewards. In that judgment seat of Christ, there are five crowns that are mentioned throughout Scripture. Let's see what they say. Who's got that 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25? Who's got that?
Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable.
All right, so we got an imperishable Or I think the old King James says an incorruptible crown. It's one that won't fade away. That kind of idea. So this idea of it's an eternal crown that God is going to reward His people that serve Him. He's going to reward them with this eternal crown, this imperishable crown. All right, who's got that 2 Timothy 4 and 8?
Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing.
All right, so we got another crown. This is one that He's going to hand out to everybody that's waiting on Him coming. And that is the crown of righteousness. That's what He crowns us with when He saves us, to be honest with you. He takes an unrighteous man like me and He crowns him with His righteousness. And on that day, He is going to show forth all the people that are crowned with His righteousness. How about that? Who's got the Revelation 2:10?
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's one of those seven letters to the seven churches. Right? And he speaks to the believers there, and I believe it kind of spans across everybody that will. And he's talking about specifically to the faithful, to those who are willing to lay down their lives. Maybe those that have laid down their lives. And certainly those who may be willing to die for the cause of Christ. And he calls it the crown of life, that he's going to crown his people with a crown of life. Now what's 1 Thessalonians 2:19? Who's got that?
For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you?
Is it not you? He talks about right there a crown of rejoicing. And that is given to people who lead other people to Christ. And it's like, and you know, that's one of the things that's going to make heaven a lot of fun for folks that win people to Jesus. You know, I mean, you think about when that eternal reward hits, and you were a part of that, getting that person there. Guess whose best friend you are now? Yes, sirree. That's where the rejoicing is going to come. You know, heaven's going to be full of that for the first 1,000,000 years, actually. A crown of rejoicing. And the last one, the fifth one, 1 Peter 5:4.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
A crown of glory. Now, he's talking specifically, you look in context in 1 Peter 5 right there. He's talking about leaders who serve the Lord faithfully, and shepherds and people that help lead His church and lead people and all those kind of things, that He is going to give a crown of glory. So those five crowns. All right? Now, what are we going to do with them crowns? What are we going to do with them crowns once we get them? You know what we're going to do? We're going to wear them for about a half a minute. But then guess what we're going to do? We're going to be so thankful for the Lamb who is on the throne. The Bible teaches that we're going to take those crowns and we're going to lay them right at His feet. And you know what I'm working for? I'm working for the day where I can take my crown and lay it right before Him. Because all the glory and all the honor goes to Him. Because anything I've accomplished, He gave me strength to do it. Anything I know, He gave me wisdom to do it. Anything I've been able to do, He gave me help to do it. And at that moment, the world's going to be made right because everybody's going to realize that everything comes from Him. And we all give it right back to Him right then in that moment. That's going to be a good day. I think about what kind of day that's going to be for Jesus. He can't wait for that day now. He can't wait for the day He honors you. And everything's just brought back to right again. You see what I'm talking about? All right, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, help us. Lord, thank You for this information. We wouldn't know none of this if Your word wasn't given to us. We thank You for that, and I pray it won't be lost on us. Help us, Lord. We may have all kinds of experiences we read this. We got experiences of joy. We got some of that regret hits us a little bit. But Lord, if we need to hit the reset button on our lives, I pray You'd help us to do that. There's still time. There's still time. If we're breathing Your breath, Your air, Lord, there's still time for us to right some of the things we hadn't done right. So help us with that, Lord. And I pray You'd help us, as Your word just told us, to persuade people. Talk to them about this. This is real important stuff. pray you'd make us bold and courageous about this, to know its truth. And I pray you'd make us wise about it, know how to share it. And I pray you'd make us compassionate about it, to know how to share it in the right heart, to where, you know, people would understand and they'd grasp it. And we would understand it and grasp it, Lord. Help us, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that you got us covered. Thank you, Lord. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.